Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
All right, time to touch base with this edition of Media Pod. Sabrina Forbes in the building.
Hello. How's it going?
It's so good to see you because, well, I mean, not everyone else knows this, but you moved to Cape Town. Yeah. You're like living your best life. I overheard you earlier saying that you now hike up Lion's Head.
Pretty much.
Every second day.
Yeah. Trying to do that from, we've got an amazing flat in Sea Point, so we can go straight from there. And it is, yeah, I'm living my best life.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's great. I've spent, you know, that time probably on William Nicol for every second that you've spent climbing that mountain.
I'll send you photos.
Yeah, whatever, Sabrina. It's okay. I'm glad that we brought you back down to earth and showed you how horrible life can be in Johannesburg, yes. Even if for a few hours. In today's edition of Media Pod, what's on the bill?
So all the conversations that we've had up until now have not really touched on creativity. So I'd like to talk about that. Especially the question is, who is creating stuff that's fresh and, you know, original anymore? And are there people out there that are doing it? I think, I don't know if it was early this week, MarkLives.com wrote a story on a bit of a kerfuffle that happened around plagiarism with Network BBDO and a Canadian agency called John, I assume it's, you pronounce it John Saint. Mm. They both got briefs from an investment company and a bank, and their creative execution or their ads were so similar, it looks like it was exactly the same ad with the same Instagram-type filtering and the same payoff line. So they all had to go into this massive legal dispute on timelines, et cetera, and prove that they hadn't, you know, copied each other's work. Turns out they hadn't. But then again, why did they come up with exactly the same idea?
Mm.
Where, you know, where are the creative ideas anymore? And why are they going back to the same look and feel, using the same style of ads that they've always been doing or whatever? So that kind of sparked the conversation today, and I think Raph will be able to give some insight into creativity in the ad industry.
Absolutely. Well, let's say hello to Raphael McCready, the managing director of Decimal Agency. It says here, this is what I've been told, you have a keen eye for strategy, a passion for narrative and inspiring the consumer. You're an advocate for the consumer. You're also a husband, a dad, and a cycling wannabe. So we'll throw that in for good measure. Where is South Africa at, or the world at, in terms of new, fresh, creative stuff on anything?
I think Sabrina's right. I think there's certainly a divide in the creativity we have in this sort of day and age. I think it's very, very apt that two different agencies receiving two different briefs seem to arrive at the same conclusion. I think one can almost arrive that potentially it's a trend-based thing. You know, the world's following a certain or specific trend set, and they're arriving at the same conclusion. But I think creativity is a very, very important thing once you measure it against, like we were discussing with Breen, as we know earlier, about being the difference between form and function. You know, it can make something look absolutely beautiful, but creativity can also be something that's based on form. But maybe creativity has been stifled because during these recessionary times, I think a lot of big brands, a lot of big agencies are almost playing the safe ball because they don't necessarily want to try something out the box in case it tanks. You know, if it fails, it puts them in a very, very weak position for repeat business. And as we all know, as agencies, it's all about building a relationship with our clients and keeping them for as long as possible. So I think it's certainly a bit of a challenge at the moment. And there's a very, very great saying that turnover hides all evil. You know, and I think the world's in a very, very bad kind of financial position at the moment now. So they're starting to look at things with a far, far sharper eye. And I think it's got a bit of a negative effect against creativity.
And then you've got the side of it where it might also be the brand representatives at the brands themselves who are scared of thinking out the box. They, you know, join, they go and study, they think they're the most creative people. They probably are. They join a place that has a bunch of red tape. They can't be creative because they're scared of failing. They've got KPIs to meet, etc. So they keep churning out the same stuff because it works. You know, it moves product off the shelves, for example, and that's the pity. That's where I find a little bit of lack. There are brands out there that are doing really creative stuff, but I'd like to see more.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, what does one do to get people to think more creatively? As a fundamental, how do you encourage creativity? One would also think that in recessionary times, people would have to be more creative, but maybe that isn't necessarily the case. In a business context, that's always the case. People start businesses, but maybe creatively, you know, really representing brands in a recession isn't something that, you know, people are particularly doing. But inspiring creativity across the board, what does that look like? What does that feel like? How do we do that better?
I think it incidentally happens in South Africa. You know, we can't do comparative advertising in SA, whereas many sort of international brands abroad can. And I think because we're somewhat governed by the fact that you can't say brand A is better than brand B. You've got to find a different...
So dumb, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a lot easier.
So dumb.
I think it sparks a very, very strong creative approach on how to say that your brand or your company or you as a brand or as a person stands out and is far, far, far better. So potentially it's a notion of the difficult's born in the easy and the easy born in the difficult. You know, things are so, so easy for us from an advertising point of view, but only get harder down the line. So I think we've got very, very good creativity in SA. I think we've got very, very good creatives. You can see about sort of international accolades our agencies are winning, which is a very, very good thing. But, yeah, I think, like I said, incidentally in South Africa, it's certainly because we confined to that, you know, because of the advertising standards.
And then maybe it also begs the question on, you said international accolades. Are we just focusing on the glamour of creativity and winning those awards? Or are we going back to what the sole purpose of advertising is, to bring somebody down a pathway that they end up opening their wallets and giving you their hard-earned money?
That's a very good point, because I think also more so that you probably find that the custodians in charge of the brand, the marketing managers, directors, brand managers, are also very apprehensive of doing very, very risque things.
Mm.
And the risque thing doesn't always potentially mean or proportionally mean that you're going to sell additional goods. It might just be there for sort of brand awareness style thing. So to go for gold is a good thing, I think. But at the end of the day, the brands want bottom line.
Yeah, this is where but I mean, surely there is stuff that can be done that meets both of those things. I mean, people, you know, if they see something unique, I know sometimes when I see like something a Coke have done, as much as, you know, they have the biggest budget in the world or whatever, they really do in a lot of stuff knock it out the park.
Yeah.
And they seem to strike a good balance between pushing product and also being wildly innovative. But it does to a certain degree seem like an industry created to recognize itself and not necessarily be fully aware of the bottom line. With, you know, digital and the fact that you can't spend millions upon millions on a 30-second TV commercial anymore because no one's going to see it, do you feel like that is, you know, not allowing, is making money tighter in terms of being creative, or do we have to be creative on a budget now? Can one be creative on a massive budget? How does, you know, the advent of digital influence creativity? I think it would, you know, make it bigger and amplify what you can do, but I don't know, maybe some people aren't seeing it like that.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. I think there's a strong digital conversation happening right under our noses, and I think the more that the brands embrace it, I think the propensity for success will be far, far quicker. You know, you mentioned Coca-Cola with a massive budget. I think Coca-Cola with a massive budget only breeds courage for them, and that's why they knock a lot of things out the park, you know, because they're not really under massive pressure as what the other brands are. But Sabrina and I were discussing earlier, you know, for me, I think anything we do needs to have some sort of narrative online. It has to live online somehow, because then you can go back and really quantify a return on the brand's investment, because you can show them scalability. You know, for argument's sake, we spent R1 million shooting a TV commercial, which you now need to put on television. But look, we can now put inside a digital environment and put budget behind that and at least give you some sort of measurability behind it. So I think it's extremely important.
Because also with the likes of TV, out of home, print ads, etc., there's always been that attribution model that was difficult to prove. I could be on the highway and see a billboard on brand X, see the TV ad, kind of see a print ad, a Facebook post, etc. But who is it? Everybody that changed my perception of the brand and made me open my wallet, or there's a term called the attribution. Who do you attribute that sale to?
Yeah.
So you still need all those additional, more above the line focused things, but yes, the digital narrative is very important. If you think of advertising as a whole, it's a blend between art and commerce.
Mm.
And if you can have the art, which is a strong emotional narrative, compelling story that can still sell products, you're winning.
Also, I think it's important to acknowledge the consistency in creativity. You know, if the message that you are seeing on the billboard versus what you're seeing online needs to be one and the same thing.
Mm.
You know, there's certain strength and continuity, and that golden thread that we often speak about is what I'm referring to. There's a really great saying, I forget who it's by, but it goes a little something like this, that people build an image of a brand the same way a bird builds its nest by the sticks and straws that it chances upon. You know, if a bird had to build a nest with the same sort of substrate, that nest would look beautiful and look perfect. But if it picks up a whole bunch of different things that aren't consistent, it looks like a ratty old. And the brands are different, you know, if the consistency is the key.
I've never heard of that. That's really clever.
That's a good one. Dropping it like it's hot, Jarrah. I very often find, like, sitting in a creative brainstorming room or something, that there's so many different perspectives, and the objective gets so lost in that room that by the time it reaches the consumer, they don't know what the hell the campaign is about. It's gotten so lost in translation. This idea of, you know, one message and following it through, but it's still being very creative and getting everyone to understand a creative vision or understand someone else's perspective and tweak it as opposed to throw their perspective in and then just hope for the best. Mm. How does one get better at managing that skill of people and people being on the same page? Because very often I think people working on brands are just not on the same page. The PR person's not on the same page as the person who's done the TV ad, who's doing the event, who's running the social media. Like, getting people on the same page to almost constrain their creativity. How do we get better at that? That's an ego thing, right?
Mm. Yeah, potentially. Earlier made mention that I'm a massive advocate for the consumer, because I think if we can apply our mind the way that they do, we'll understand exactly how to speak to them.
And they don't want to win a lorry.
No. They want their values, their money's worth, you know. But you're right. I think, and that's what we refer to as curse of knowledge. You know, we can sit in a room and we can come up with a creative solution to a brief. But because we've got curse of knowledge about what our idea is, it seems right. But you put it in front of the end consumer and they're confused by it. It doesn't make any sense. And maybe that's the idea around making sure that it's like palatable and it's easily digestible and it's simple. You know, simple wins at the end of the day. So maybe it is the ego thing. If we can make it super, super clever and creative, surely we'll win gold for it, win an accolade. But at the end of the day, we're going to make the sales.
I mean, I was with a brand earlier who their main target for this year and years going forward is the young up-and-coming black male. They just, you know, that's what they're targeting at. But their head strategist is a 40 to 50-year-old white female who doesn't consume the brand that they're trying to market. Hmm. And the brand manager said to me, she's so frustrated that this is the person that she has to work with, because the contract has been signed and this is her strategist, but the communication of what she's looking for to speak to this young black male is missing, because this lady is not a young black male.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been put on the account.
So unless you're really, really creative and you can put yourself in someone else's shoes, it becomes difficult in that context, in that scenario. I got really sad when I saw this question here, Sabrina, that you thought we should ask: is daydreaming dead? Jeez, I hope not. I mean, I don't know. No,
I wanted to bring that up, and I'm glad Raph put it into his brief. There's an Einstein quote that I wrote here: creativity is the residue of time wasted. And a lot of neuroscience research has been done around daydreaming and whether it actually creates or, you know, assists and aids creativity as a whole, and it turns out that it does.
Good.
Mm. So when you look like you're just staring out the window and people think you're not being productive, that's when you're being your most productive.
Oh, this is fantastic. So I'm going to use that all the time.
You have my stamp of approval.
I wish I knew that in high school.
Yeah.
Jeez, yeah, that would have been great to explain to the teacher.
Ma'am, I'm just thinking.
Yeah, I'm not it.
So if we really zoom out on this word and try and get people to apply it in their own context, in their own narrative, if I want to be more creative, or I want to be honest about how creative I am or I'm not, what kind of conversation do I need to be having with myself, looking in the mirror on how creative I am or I'm not, and knowing my creative extent or learning how to be more creative? What's that conversation sound like?
I think research is a very, very big thing, but not necessarily scheduled. You know, there's many, many good sort of reference websites that you can look at that they give good inspiration. I mean, you might find people that are absolute diehard fans of Reddit, for argument's sake, or 9gag, one of my favorite ones. And, you know, there's a lot of memes generated on there, and there's a lot of sort of funny generated posts. But at the end of the day, they're all beautiful human truths, you know, whether it's Paranoid Parrots to Me Gusta, or whatever the case is, all of those things have come from somewhere, because it's influenced someone's life, and most of them are very, very humorous. So I think, you know, you don't necessarily want to be in a position like Sabrina mentioned earlier about these two agencies with two different briefs and time zones arriving at the sort of same conclusion. But maybe there's worth some sort of merit in acknowledging there is some sort of trend that's going about. But you know, it's just about widening your horizon, I think, and maybe, like you said, you look in the mirror, have the sort of honest conversation with yourself, and the answer's right in front of you. You know, I think any big sort of creative problem we've ever faced as an agency, or I've ever faced, the answer's always been right in front of us. You know, it's just a case of not sort of clouding yourself, and maybe that's why the daydreaming is very good.
I mean, true potential comes from great collaboration as well. I know my strengths and weaknesses, and I look at them head on. And although I'm working on my weaknesses, I know that they might never become a strength. So if I have a job to do or something, rather partner up with somebody who has that weakness of mine as their strength and do it together and deliver something that's of good quality, as opposed to, I mean, for example, I don't know how to edit a video, so I'm going to go and spend 500,000 rand on video equipment and try and teach myself. Use an agency that's doing it properly and that focuses on that, and then you're able to deliver at least good quality work, whether it's going back to the whole creativity thing, whether it's creative or not, we'll have to see, but pay attention to your daydreams and let them guide you.
Jeez, that's the one thing I'm definitely going to take from today. I'm going to spend the whole of tomorrow just looking out. It's important. I'm glad you affirmed that it's very important. Just before we run out of time, the final question here was, what is creativity? And I've never been able to apply a definition to it, because it's this constant evolving process, and on any different day it can have a different meaning to me. But for you, what is creativity? Let's wrap it up with everyone's definition. And by the way, that's the definition at 16:56:33 on the 12th of the 5th, 2016, because tomorrow could be completely different, because you never know what video you're going to see on 9gag, which is going to change your perspective. But right now, as we sit, Raphael, what is creativity?
I think creativity is the forever evolving notion of maybe purified, don't necessarily diversify. You know, if you can have this purified message, that's clean cut, straight to the point, I think you can inspire, you know. And I think the notion of creativity based on inspiring is that, you know, when you inspire someone, their motivation to act becomes deeply personal. You know, something within their heart that makes them stand up and want to take action, whether it's standing in a stadium or listening to a piece of music. You know, music can be creative. Doesn't necessarily need to be something visual.
Sabrina, with your Cape Townian influence now.
Hello. For me, creativity is human at the end of the day. The wheel was creative. The first heart transplant and figuring out how to do that properly was creative. Any innovative technology thing that has an impact on people's lives is creative. And humans were built to always better themselves and always find maybe not the easiest route, but the more effective route to X, Y, and Z. And I don't think it only stems, you know, comes from the media and marketing world. It's human. And that's where the human, what did you say, the human narrative or the 9gag stuff that still has the human element into it. It's their story.
Yeah.
And that's creativity for me.
Good answer.
So until such time as the robot apocalypse, you got to keep
We're
it
still
as
good.
Human as possible. Because when that happens, we're so screwed, people. This has been powerful. What's the big takeaway here?
For me, for agencies, and if we go back to the whole media pod thing and what we're actually talking about, is remember the art behind it and make it speak to my inner soul, I suppose, whether it's an ad that's going to make me cry or something that's going to make me laugh, or the pouncing parrot, or what's he called?
Yeah, paranoid parrot.
Paranoid parrot that's going to make me...
That now, yeah.
I'm going on 9gag immediately. I think just be authentic and honest and true, and just do something cool. And if that's creative, then that's... I mean, I assume if you do it that way, it's going to be creative. And it's a very broad term, creative.
Yeah, it's a very broad term.
It's difficult.
For me, I'd say that agencies need to have as many conversations with one another as possible. Like you mentioned earlier, it isn't necessarily about ego. I can easily concede, and I'm sure many other people will do the same, is that you can look at many different agencies' websites for argument's sake and look at some of their ideas and think, jeez, I wish I thought of that. You know, and for that very, very reason, if you continue the conversations, I think that'll motivate creativity. And finally, I think planning will get you from A to B, but imagination will take you everywhere.
There you go. Yeah. Dropping it like it's hot in this edition of Media Pod.
Decimalagency.com. You guys look like you have the coolest offices.
We do.
I'm definitely going to swing by. I'm looking at the website now for a Decimal Agency. Of course, Sir Raphael is the MD there. It looks like you got really dope offices with red walls and tables that are doors and
big windows you can stare at.
Yeah, lots of staging windows.
Nice creative space. Alright, it's been a dope edition of Media Pods. To keep up with everything you're doing over at Decimal Agency, how do we get involved?
You can find us on Twitter. Twitter handle is Decimal Agency. Quite a big fan of Instagram, also Decimal Agency, decimalagency.com, and on Facebook.
Power. Sabrina, to keep up all day, outside of finding you on Lion's Head.
At Sabrina Forbes XX.
Power. Another dope edition of Media Pod. We do this once a month. Next month's going to be cool because we are going to be looking at the Generation Next Awards.
That'll be very exciting.
In a collaboration with Sunday Times, HDI Youth and Times Media getting involved there. This is when they go around the country and ask the kids what brands do they like. And then they're like, yo, I dig Mimos. And then Decimal Agency's like, yeah, we did such a good job on Mimos. No wonder you do. That's one of Decimal's clients. So you can look forward to that. Sabrina will touch base in the next edition.
Cool. Yeah. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.